This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Good team on paper uses the values of the Fantasy Premier League, and we love it. We love the game. We love the haircuts. We love the drama. We love it all. It's all love, baby. It's all love. Oh, I'm sorry. I've made a mess. Start the show!
Undoubtedly, the greatest team the nation has ever seen. From a yard out, he couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo.
That was as clear as day. The goalkeeper hoping to get on the end of it. He watched the ball all the way onto his forehead.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio. Let's get it on.
This is beautiful, but I have to point out a factual error.
What's that?
You can't watch the ball all the way onto your forehead.
You're bringing that up now?
Yeah. It's the first time I've actually heard that commentary.
Is it because the first time you've listened to the music, it's got a central edge?
Yeah, but you can watch it all the way onto your foot because your eyes are not below your foot.
Sexuality brings out the pedant in you.
It does.
I like it.
I did once go to a fancy dress party as the incredible pedant.
Welcome to Good Team.
I annoyed the shit out of everyone that night. Score.
Anyway,
go!
Welcome to Good Team on Paper, the show all about fantasy football. And love this week.
Tonight.
It's game week 25.
Who cares? It's Valentine's Day.
That's the right answer. I'm Mike. I have no idea about football, or at least I didn't at the beginning of the season. I kind of do now. And I'm here with my three resident experts, Rob, Deck, and Bundo. Guess what? I did that without a script.
Oh my god.
And you absolutely you smashed it out of the park.
But there's never a script. It's just a rough running order of various ideas.
That's like, very true.
My pedantry has rubbed off on Bundo already.
We're trying to make it sound like we're professional every single week. Yeah. And I think the rest of the show always proves us wrong. So let's just set the tone from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm actually reading this. It's been scrawled on a potato.
Look, paper's expensive nowadays.
Yeah,
post Brexit.
Just scrawl in a biro that you found in Argos on a potato.
Anyway, welcome to Good Team on Paper, guys. Have you been?
Well,
actually, what's the point? Why are you guys here? Why aren't you with your wives and girlfriends?
Because they're out seeing their boyfriends.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
it's ladies' night.
They're having a whale of a time, aren't they? Like, yeah, they're at home having a pillow fight.
Yeah. One can only assume in their negulge is.
Negulges.
Well, apparently, my girlfriend is in a room with 50 other men who are also nuts about football.
Your girlfriend's in a room with 50 other men.
Pedant strikes.
Yeah. And I can't cater for her football needs. So,
no, that is clearly true.
Yeah. But she's in lectures about football. That's basically it. She studies sports science.
So she's going to enjoy the first section of the show.
Weirdly, Bundo's wife is subjected to regular lectures about football.
Yeah. That flip chart I got her for Christmas has really come through.
You see, statistically, Rush was better than Dixie Dee.
Look, Stato agreed with me on that. Angus Lockwood, the Stato, agreed with me on that fact. So that is a fact. I've done it. I've got so many facts today, but that is the best fact we're going to have.
Right. Should we get on with it then?
Fact.
That's what St. Valentine actually said before they beheaded him, disemboweled him, dismembered him, and buried him in many different parts of the country.
Just get it on.
He's my favourite dismembered historical figure, excluding Ned Stark.
All right.
What about Joan of Arc? Boosh. Great. William Wallace.
She wasn't beheaded, though, was she? She was burnt at the stake.
True. William Wallace?
He ruined it all when he started rabbiting on about Jews all the time.
Anyway, let's move on.
The Dream Team.
Oh, that was really short. Marvin Gaye has cut everything short.
I was going to quip saying that actually Sean Davis at the weekend was my favourite dismembered historical figure with Sadio Mane going down the wing. But you ruined it by going to music. That was a football topical joke.
Okay. Shall we talk Dream Team then, Matt?
Well, I don't know if I can beat that. all right, then. So, this week...
This week you've got it clearly wrong because it says Mignolet's in goal and most of the back four are from Swansea.
Yeah.
So that's obviously all wrong.
There's been
I've entered a parallel universe.
There's been some horrendous typos across the whole thing. They should be ashamed of themselves at Fantasy Premier League, shouldn't they? It is a bit of a strange one this week. I'll take it going through the teams. So we've got Mignolet in goals, you say. We've got Mawson, Olsen and Fernandez from Swansea at the back. We've got Ryan Bertrand making up the numbers. Then in midfield, we've got Sadio Mane, we've got Sanchez, we've got Lanzini, Figuli and Martial. And up front, on his own, we've got Gabbiadini.
I thought Marco Gabbiadini had retired years ago.
Came back for a one-off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He looks like an old-school footballer as well. Like, he's it's kind of almost got his socks down to his ankles, no shimpers, just
Baggy shirt. Looking disinterested, no sponsor.
With him and Tom Davis, we got return to the old days, isn't
it? Well, took it the old days. I think Alfie Mawson sounds like the last surviving Battle of Britain Spitfire pilot.
It does. Hello, Alfie Mawson.
I can barely remember any of it, but I'm very bloody proud. I shot Jerry. Not the Germans, my friend Jerry. I shot him.
He was sleeping with my wife.
And we're back to love. We can't stay from love.
We're in love. These are the most loved players of the week. So, talking points from that, I think, as you say, we've got to talk about Swansea.
Yeah,
and their resurgence.
Utterly ridiculous.
At the back. I was just saying that we were talking about an ex living on longingly at the new boy coming in town, all with his pecs rippling and his fancy car.
Yeah.
It's happened to me on many occasions. But then I sold the car. Brad Bobley, who was interviewed recently, and he was saying he has no regrets. Yeah, whatever. Paul Clement or Clement? Clement.
Let's call him Clement.
Clement.
Yeah.
Clement. It does remind me of these.
Bayern Munich groundsman.
It does remind me of the sketch I was going to do this week, which was going to be Hector Bellerin's Hector the Love Doctor. But due to public demand, I'm not going to be doing accents for the next few weeks. Just stay to the stats. It is incredible, though, isn't it? Like, it just shows really how bad Brad Bobley was.
Yeah, but I'm sure when he sat there on his throne of cash, he's quite comfortable.
No, he was probably doing it for tuppence halfpenny, you know, he was, or whatever that is in American. Dime.
My 2 cents.
Yeah, dime centally. That sounds about right. For those
throw a nickel at him.
For those non-long-term listeners, by the way, we know that it's Bob Bradley. It's not like we've...
It's like when you
although
hear...
it is 50-50 if you've been listening, so...
Yeah. It's like when you hear Jeff Stelling say Roth Ravers, and you think he's got it wrong, but it's deliberate!
It's hilarious, though, isn't
but
it?
Yeah,
that's the main thing.
How Brad managed to turn a team that can clearly play football into basically a group of strangers who looked like they didn't know they were on a football pitch.
That is interesting. So
it's quite remarkable.
I've got some Swansea stat attacks, Mike.
Okay.
I'll do it myself. Stat attack!
Stat attack!
Hello, there we are.
It's a town in Wales.
So we got... That's very good.
It is.
Stat attack!
It sounds like a French folk band. Stat attack.
Its main sources of income are Welsh stag doos.
And unhappiness.
We've got... So
Their best ever player is Lee Trundle.
So the stat... Was I doing a stat attack? I was.
No, go!
Stat attack!
Thank you. At the moment, we're talking about Alfie Mawson, World War II pilot.
Yep.
No defender scored more Premier League goals in 2017 than Mr. Mawson. He's level with 3 on Marcus Alonso. That makes it less impressive, doesn't it? It's just he is the joint one.
Two defenders have scored 3 goals.
Yeah. So well done to him.
Gone are the day. Why do no defenders take penalties and free kicks anymore?
Well, Baines was the last great.
Yeah.
Explain it. Well, Milner, but he plays as a midfielder, so it's not fair.
I put to you René Higuita.
Oh,
he used to take, penalties. Phenomenal.
So did that Peruvian keeper?
Schiliver.
Yes.
Jose Schiliver, did he?
Yeah, he had an amazing free kick. I mean, they both Higuita and Schiliver, there's a video for you. they both had amazing free kicks and penalties but the thing is, Schiliver was actually quite sensible. He didn't try and beat an entire team and end up costing his side like 12 goals a year.
Do a scorpion kick. He actually got his hands behind the ball. Solidly.
Well, he was an excellent keeper, Schiliver.
It makes sense, though, with keepers, because they have got an incredibly hard kick. You know, they've got to get it past the halfway line quite a lot, which is a bit of a skill. Although I can toe punt it that far, you know, so that...
Well, didn't Schmeichel nearly... he scored a goal that was practically an overhead kick, didn't he?
What, quite from possibly. His own box?
From because he used to look at Alex Ferguson. Alex, there's 10 minutes left and we're losing. Yeah. I may as well go up for every corner.
There's 20 minutes left. Yeah, it's 1-1.
Yeah, look, we went in behind at half time. I'm leaving my goal unattended. Just put Roy Keane on the halfway line and unmuzzle him.
I thought
that's what she said.
I genuinely thought that you meant he had done a bicycle kick on his own line. I'm sure I did that in Pro Evo once. Just held it down for about 10 minutes. Yeah, get in. Other football simulator games are available. Mm. So I thought it was interesting. Also, I can't go on without mentioning Sigurdsson. So in their home games, I think he's one of those players that's been talked about. They're most reliant on one player. I think it's Defoe and Sigurdsson. Mm. Was Snodgrass at Hull before gone off. But he's been involved with 8 goals in his last 8 home games.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Wasn't he at Spurs?
He was, did very bad run at Spurs, then went back to Swansea and shows that he's great. I think Spurs just don't give people a chance.
But also, there's a case of some people are just right for one place. Not everyone can move, and like Shevchenko couldn't stop scoring for, was it Inter he was at?
AC Milan.
AC, sorry. Of course it was AC. And he goes to Chelsea and he can't score for Toffee. They should have been paying him in cash, but.
That's true.
Not Toffee.
Weak humour.
Well, I tell you what, on a bit of a note like that, Sadio Mane, you couldn't score a penalty for Toffee.
Yes.
Toffee?
Yeah.
Or did he
Sadio Mane. Shooting for Toffee.
I thought he played for Senegal, but Toffee. Yeah. The People's Republic of Toffee.
Yeah. It's actually an oligarchy.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, good. So he came back and Liverpool are great again. He's obviously been back a couple of weeks, but I think he's properly back into form now. He's match fit. And it's just funny how he makes everybody else around him better, apart from Spurs players. He's just looking at me like, it's amazing. I think, we're back. The problem is, I'll say we're back. It'll be a thing where we'll lose to some absolutely no hopers.
Well, he scored as many goals in 2 minutes as Liverpool had scored in the previous 3 games.
That's a stat attack.
Stat attack.
Oh, brilliant, I didn't know that. That's very good, that. It was interesting.
Yeah, can you imagine what that must be like in the dressing room? You guys are shit.
Yes. What have you been doing?
I've been in Africa playing loads. I come back here and turn you around just like that.
I think it's...
I would be out of control.
It's interesting that there was all that kind of talk of Klopp needing to go and a kind of big reaction then. It's the most extreme thing at Liverpool, always kind of a city of extremes. Now it's back into, it's fine. But up until this weekend, he actually had the exact same record that Brendan Rodgers had at that point.
Yeah, but Brendan Rodgers didn't pump his fists and his glasses fall off and ban Sun journalists. It's the complete picture, isn't it? Because David Moyes, at the point where David Moyes got fired... He had a better record than Van Gaal and Mourinho.
Ah, interesting.
Good fact.
So, yeah. And it was because from the very beginning, Man United fans were convinced David Moyes was not good enough. And the board were convinced he wasn't good enough. And that's why they gave him 60 quid. And they went, go out and buy Fellaini and get someone in on loan. And then they went, oh, no, you're not very good. Van Gaal, here's half a billion pounds.
Yeah,
turn this dreadful David Moyes team around.
It is funny that we always thought that David Moyes, he's a very astute man when he's at Everton. What it actually turns out is that he just found 8 players in total that he likes, of which will follow him around to various clubs, getting gradually older.
But every other week at Sunderland, he's a really good manager.
It's true.
Every
home game.
Yeah. Every time Defoe can be bothered to drag them out of the mire. If I was the main Defoe, I'd be like, oh, bloody hell, here we go again. Might as well.
And Brendan Rodgers is doing all right at Celtic in the notoriously difficult to win Scottish League.
That's true. Yeah. Difficult. Those cup finals against St Mirren.
I'm 40 on Friday, people. You can send presents to the address on the website. In my lifetime, I think only Aberdeen have interrupted Celtic and Rangers in winning the Scottish Premier League.
That's true. Hearts? No, they've been up there. Aberdeen,
But I may be wrong on that, but certainly in the last 30 years, I don't think any other team has won it.
And Aberdeen were managed by arguably the best manager of the 20th century.
Yeah, Dom Revie. Oh, no, sorry, Alex Ferguson. Sorry, you threw me by saying the best manager of the 20th century.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Email in if anybody knows of other Scottish teams about that, because we're basing that on complete conjecture. But that's good. That's what most of the things are. And BBC Sport.
Good team at foobarradio.com or hashtag GTO Paper if you want to tweet the...
sweet plug.
Yeah. Why not? And I've got to say, we've always been, this is a little thing I've got to mention, we've always been saying, oh, be the first, you know, get involved. And we did actually have our first email.
And we ignored it.
Which we didn't, we didn't get in time. So that just shows the interactive.
So here's the thing, be the first to get involved. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, just the interactive nature of this
show.
We
are live, by the way. We are absolutely live.
Genuinely live.
Like, I can prove it. It's 7:15.
Well, that's the thing. This one was sent. I've got it in front of me. It was sent at 19:15. That's 7:15 for those Americans.
I can prove we're live. It's Tuesday. Donald Trump is dead.
Well, it says on here that so it's 7:15. This was sent. So we had lots of time to print it out, Ali, and bring it in. It's from a mystery email address, GaryBundy2222. I won't tell you what app because.
At yahoo.co.uk.
Oh, no, you said it. We're not meant
privacy
to do that.
Privacy is nothing in the real world. In the modern world, privacy is nothing. Gary, anyway, prepare yourself for a bundle of abusive emails.
Especially from
be on your guard.
Especially from your auntie and uncle, who I've heard have a thing for sending filthy, filthy emails.
And are our other three listeners, Tom and the auntie and uncle.
He brought this upon himself, to be fair. But we were talking last time about the record-breaking weekend of most goals scored in 2011. And he wants to point out, Dec, as a fellow Everton fan, he starts to this, so there are two of you. Well done. The
Goodison Park is full, mate.
Oh, so, lovely.
Yeah, yes, there are more than two of us.
It's very small. It's like a portal, though, isn't it? with the atmosphere of one.
Oh, God. Watching a Liverpool and Everton fan argue over who's got the shitter ground. It's like it's like watching two rats argue over who laid a turd.
There's no enthusiasm in this rivalry at all, is there? I'm trying to stir it up, but there's nothing going on. He points out that I mentioned that there weren't many individual goal scorers who had contributed. He points out that Everton actually won 5-3 and Louis Sahar scored 4 goals against Blackpool. So a great correction, but also an extra stat attack.
Stat attack. Being fascinating.
Was that a very quiet sentence? Because it wasn't me. Give him a proper one. He said the effort to email
stat
in.
Attack.
There you are, Gary. So thank you very, very much. Keep emailing in.
Yeah, Gary, if you've got any further anecdotes about Matt, Matt Bundy, that'd be tremendous. It'd be lovely, lovely to hear.
Good team at Football Radio.
Congratulations on your choice. Yeah, good team at Football Radio. Exactly the same email as you sent it into last time. Just send it to the same email.
And also,
and Lewis Saha, if you've got any stories about Gary Bundy, we'd love to hear them.
Or the number 5, if you've got any stories.
Because much like Louis Saha, Gary Bundy once refused to do his job until he got transferred.
What?
No, that's just a reference to Louis Saha throwing a tantrum at Fulham until he got his move to Man United.
He's a very loyal worker and deserves a pay rise.
Dimitar Berbatov threw a tantrum at Fulham until he got his move to Man United.
That's true.
Almost like Alex Ferguson had a massive history of tapping players up.
That's true.
Almost.
Tapping up, like, in the kind of financial sense. Just want to make that very clear.
As opposed to...
There's some kind of sexual pun in there.
Tapping up as in, come play for me, laddie! I'll make you a rich man, eh?
There's a lot left to go outside.
Hey, you wee shitbag!
Anyway, back to
give me a racehorse.
Back to the dream team. to dream. Thank you, Gary. So final two. I want to talk about Gabby Adini. You mentioned he's kind of old school. He's
Marco
Bonolo.
Bonolo.
Manolo.
That's the kind of monkey.
That's it.
It's the kind of monkey that gives everyone the illness in Outbreak, the film.
That's true.
The Dustin Hoffman, René Rousseau film. René Rousseau's birthday is on Friday as well, so if you're listening, René, happy birthday for Friday and to Justin Timberlake too.
If they want to get
in touch, are you expecting presents from
them? And Michael Jordan.
If they want to get in touch and tell us if they have a Yahoo email address as well and talk about the relative benefits of the service,
actually,
this is Gmail.
Yahoo's gone downhill. I've got a Yahoo and a Gmail account. Yahoo, you now have to pay £3 for them not to spam you with ridiculous different things.
Jesus.
Gary, you're behind the times. Get on Gmail,
man. Come on, Gaz.
And just for your information, it's rene.rousseau@americaonline.com.
We could do that. This could be a bit every week. I know some moderately famous people's email addresses. You know, email that out. Statos, give him out. So I just want to talk about him because he was the only striker in a 4-5-1 formation this week. And I looked and I thought, he's just my kind of player. I'm definitely going to pick him. Not this week, not the next week. We'll talk about the fixtures coming up. Mm. Don't do it now, listeners.
Yeah.
Because there are no fixtures coming
Don't
up.
And call then they have in. A, it's just for fun.
And then they have a blank game week. We'll talk about at the end. But he's right my type of player. He's going straight in. He's a must-have when he comes back. So, and then the final point on the love theme. So that was love at first sight. That's good, isn't it? It all gets in. Like, it's all themed. The danger of a lover scorned, or a woman scorned, isn't it? But in this case, a striker.
Yeah.
Two of them this week, players making a point after kind of saying they're going to be dropped or transferred. I thought Aguero was great coming back. I think that Jesus was injured in the 14th minute.
Aguero!
We should have the same thing for Jesus as well.
Yeah. Jesus!
There'll be somebody from a gospel channel that we can just rip, wouldn't there? One of those.
As you pointed out, though, Bundo, when's Jesus going to be back from injury?
In 3 days.
No. When's he going to be back? when's Jesus? Actually...
Oh, sorry, that was your joke.
Yeah.
He's going to be back at Easter.
He's actually going to be back at Easter.
Yes. As we're walking past the John Barnes Temporary Library
Caledonian
Road, which is a genuine building.
Who had the better joke about Jesus? And I thought Bundo, and he obviously thought me, because he's intimidated by my intelligence.
That's the thing, we were just too nice to each other. But I was also going to mention, before we go to break, Martial. He kind of does that. He was in the dream team this week. Mm. And he does that thing where Mourinho says maybe he's on his way out. And he's a bit of a bitter man when it comes to him and has a great performance. I quite like that with players where they get spurred on either by the desire to be transferred out or the anger at saying they're going to be transferred. Mm. I quite like that. It's like angry sex, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Or grief sex, as we discussed previously.
Let's not go back into that.
Well, tell you what, if you want really angry sex, have grief sex with the person who killed your lover.
A break.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
All right, Richard Dunn here. You might know me as the greatest Irish defender I've seen in the Premier League since wee Paul McGrath. But now I'm retired and moved on to entertaining the kiddies. So, now instead of clearing balls, I'm gathering them in my Olympic-sized ball pool. Instead of sliding tackles, I'm sliding down Europe's longest and steepest slide. And instead of kicking strikers, I'm kicking back in my arcade and cafe, now serving 5 different types of potato. So, you've got kids and you love them, or you just want them to shut up, bring them to me, because whether your daughter or your son, your little un will have tons of fun with Richard Dunn.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Do you think that the performance might have been put off by the fact you were wearing 3D glasses? Do you think that might have thrown them in anyway?
They might have thought I needed those glasses.
You were in 3D glasses?
She thought
really?
They were sunglasses because she said enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah. Do you want to know why she was wearing 3D?
Yeah, why were you wearing 3D glasses?
Because that idiot son of mine
my
brother.
Told me that you had to watch them in 3D.
What, theatre? Or theatre performances?
Every Monday, Ian Boltworth, from 2 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, I am Solomon Rondon of Venezuela and West Bromwich Albion, and I'm here to improve your love life with my novelty condoms. Styled after beautiful exotic birds, you can make your wee cock look like a peacock. Your budgie smugglers can house an actual budgie. And you could turn your bald-headed monster into a bald-headed eagle. Your woman will go crazy for you if you wear Solomon Rondon's novelty condoms. But wait! There's more! Now they don't just look great, but feel good too, as every Johnny you buy comes complete with feathers from real endangered birds. So look great and feel flighty with Solomon Rondon's novelty condoms.
Warning, the feathers on Solomon Rondon's novelty condoms can come loose and cause serious injury, whilst the beak attachments leak. These condoms should not be used for any sexual purpose.
You've already seen Believe, Looking for Eric, United, and Class of 92, but we're nowhere near finished making films about Manchester United. Alex Ferguson, Carlos Quiroz, and David Gill are just three happy-go-lucky guys with a football team to run and money to burn when a little Portuguese turns up on their doorstep. Minimal appearances and underwhelming hijinks ensue in the hit comedy Three Men and a Bebe.
Good team on paper
on FUBAR Radio.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
You're quite right, mate.
Yeah, ladies, yes.
News update very quickly. Paul Nuttall of the UKIPs is a massive bell end.
News update hot off ended. The press, everybody. That's what it's about, live. Yeah. Live
don't
radio.
Pretend a family friend of yours died in the Hillsborough disaster, you absolutely horrific ring piece.
Just an awful,
news
awful
edit.
Man. Awful, awful. Over. Man. But can I? I love stats, Mike, and that's why the stat attack relates to our love theme this week.
Okay.
Because it's Valentine's Day. Just if anybody tunes in after the break.
The average erect penis is 5.4 inches.
There was a card shop in
wide.
Camden that was so we went there to have a look at a card, like obviously a few days ago.
Oh, I thought you said a card shop. I thought you were talking about one of those Romanians on the street who tries to rob you of £20.
He was there as well, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But and they had all these very, very rude cards in there, and some of them were way too far for me. And one of them said, it's a my penis approves of you. I thought that's not very funny. And then one
that's
of
just
said,
about any naked lady.
One of them said, I shouldn't have gone down this route because my mum's listening, but yeah, it said on it, my cock, your arse, ?
That's just a general
Let's
grinder introduction, isn't it?
That's the thing. I couldn't believe it. Even I was like, that's a bit far.
The is best that like roses are red, violets are blue? My cock, your ass,
? You? Yeah. Hey! The best card I've ever seen just had, in big block capitals, it went, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. Sorry you're leaving.
I like that. It's very good. But I look forward to giving my card later, which was not from that stall. It was from Sainsbury's. Value.
Are we ready for your rundown stat attack?
Go on, I love stats.
Stat attack.
It's so relevant. It's so good to love me. So this week, the average points that managers got were 47. The highest points were 121. It's not really scaling the heights of what
I got
seen.
49, so I'm above average. You hear that, Mum? I'm above average.
You got it. I got 49 as well. So we're at least
I'm average
area.
In this room.
In the area.
56. As expected, Mum. As expected.
The most transferred in player was Sigurdsson, very wise leaving people this week. And just looking beyond the world of fantasy football, so some of the best stats from the games. Raheem Sterling has won 24 of the 25 Premier League games when he scored. He's only lost one, that was West Ham in September 2014.
Okay.
That's an amazing stat.
It is.
Two clubs.
It is. But he's also a player that cost £50 million and he's only scored in 25 games in his career.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, now you put it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, it works in both ways, that stat.
It's
a hidden stat within the stat.
Yeah.
You can prove anyone with facts, though.
Yeah, think about what you've done with your life, Raheem.
Particularly alternative facts. So, Pep Guardiola has won all six league games that he's been a manager on a Monday.
Mm. And that means he takes the team for a drink on Tuesday.
Yeah. Took her to a club on Thursday.
They're
making love by Thursday.
Yeah. Missed out a step there though.
But the problem with Man City is the problem with Man City is they just chill on Sunday.
Oh yeah. Full of it. He full on Cosby'd him.
Yeah.
So it's the aggregate score of 20-1 for Pep Guardiola. Robbie Brady, when they're playing Chelsea, has got a fantastic direct free kick. And that's the first time that a Premier League player has scored a direct free kick versus Chelsea since 2013.
Wow.
Who would you say scored that? A great free kick taker, legend of the
Steven Gerrard.
No, Ricky Lambert. Another Liverpool legend.
Mm.
Oh, it's written down here. That's my idea. Thank you for not guessing.
That was very good.
I was looking at it, pointing at it, thinking, hang on.
That one? This one? That's called playing along. You'd be rubbish at Panto, you guys.
And then
she's behind you. I know she is. I know she's behind me. It's in the fucking script, kids.
Hang on. Jesus.
Hang on,
no
Mr. Script, Pedant.
It's a series of bullet points. Look, it's fun when I pedant.
My final, I've been using astonishing stats this week, by the way. Well
Go
done.
On.
Well done, me. A final few. Leicester have gone over 10 hours without scoring in the Premier League.
That's a shit attack.
Yeah.
Shit attack.
That's on the pitch, not there have been 10 hours between games, just to be like. So that's 610 minutes, it unnecessarily says here. And no team in the top four tiers has won fewer points than them in 2017. They've only got one. So Aston Villa, Coventry and Leighton Orient. But that's astonishing, not just in the Premier League.
But do you know what makes Aston Villa much, much worse?
What's that?
Well, they're a level below, for a start.
Yeah.
They've spent £50 million.
Yeah.
And David Cameron supports them.
Yeah.
And supports West Ham.
Can we finally put to bed the idea that Steve Bruce is a good manager?
We can.
Yeah. So, along with Brian Robson, it's weird. If you're a former Man United player, you kind of get this, oh, they're a great manager. No, they're really not.
The final stat of the stat attack. West Brom have opened the scoring in the 6th minute exactly in each of their last three games.
That is weird.
6-6-6.
Yeah.
Oh, are you saying they've got a pact with the devil?
Maybe that's how Paul Clement got them to... to keep going back to playing well, he just made a pact with the devil, and in five weeks he's just going to burn.
It's a modern day Faustus. Exactly.
Maybe their new player is an occult hero. Thanks, guys. I am here all week.
Lovely. Should we talk about the love on the love theme? Cult heroes that you love.
Let's talk about love.
Why not? So we've got a few love things we've been looking at. That are love things. So players, do we love, do we hate, do we...
We love to hate.
Do we love to hate. So
that love the club.
That's true. I think we'll start off, as you've got into it, the cult players that we love.
Their teammates' wives.
Cult players.
I thought as a show we had two players that we absolutely hate anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
we've got
one of them's going to be dealt with in a second.
We'll deal with that in a
minute. Yeah, fuck you, McManaman.
Steve McManaman.
I always did. I don't
really?
Know why.
Why.
I don't know.
What did he do to you?
I don't know.
He had great curly hair. He wore a cream suit.
Yeah, I just had an issue with him.
When he went abroad, he learned the culture.
Weirdly, when he left Liverpool, I stopped hating him.
That Champions League goals were superb. But he's always great. I always loved his kind of gangly leg style.
I have no
down
problem
the wing.
With him now.
He really set off that Liverpool shirt that had a kind of cricket jumper collar.
Oh,
on it,
yeah, yeah. Got. The crown, not the crown, but the candy.
Because he looked like he could kind of slick his hair back and become a superb off spinner for the Lancashire under 12s.
So where are we starting, Bundles?
I think we start with cult hero players that we love. So this is not the players that we love because they're the best, like Aguero.
I don't think they can be the best, can they, to be a cult hero?
They have to almost be a little bit. Hit and miss. So start us off. Cult players that we love.
Well, at Leeds, I've had two.
God, Leeds! I knew it was going to be Leeds.
Well, isn't it weird that my cult heroes are the ones at my club?
Okay, you can. I'll let you off this time.
The chief, obviously, Lucas Radebe, who, whilst being one of the best, also only had about 240 appearances over about 200 years. But because he's from South Africa, his birth certificate still says he's 26.
Allegedly. massive, allegedly.
No, he's a great ambassador for the game. Love that man. And David Proton. We had David Proton for a couple of years when we were in League One. The League One Jesus, we called him, because he had long flowing locks and could walk on opponents.
We've got David Proton. We've got David.
Yeah. And he was just...
He's almost certainly the son of God.
He's almost unknown. Yeah. He's almost unknown. You remember David Proton. He was just great for us. He gave his all every single game. And he had a sense of humour on the pitch and off it. What's not to love?
Is there any evidence for that sense of humour? What did he do? I don't know.
He did daft things. There you go.
Like play for Leeds.
Like during the warm-up, he'd do a Gazza type thing and do a line of coke. No.
Allegedly,
not really. Not really. He'd,
matter of record.
Like
that's a new word, allegedly. Matter of record. Public record.
He'd debag. When you pull someone's... training shorts down, that sort of thing.
Called?
Yeah, he'd act the goat in the background. He was just...
Oh, talking about that. Mm. So, sorry, Deck, I know you were going to go there. So, cult players that I love. I love any players who kind of have a silly nickname that can be called the something.
So Sean Goater.
The goat. Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. Feed the goat and he will score.
I love a bit.
I love it because also he's got an incredibly strange-shaped head. Mm. It's kind of like a Shrek head that's been a bit stretched. And I just thought he was superb. He's kind of, you say he's a bit up and down, got some incredible goal-scoring records for a bit, but sometimes a bit rubbish. And that's a proper cult hero. Feed the goat and he will score. Mm. Make a banner of that, unfurl it. Mm. So you're not a Liverpool player. Also, Yakubu, the yak, who I believe has just signed this week for Coventry,
I think.
And he's back. I just like feed the goat, feed the yak.
But anyone you can feed.
Yeah, feed the Pele. Yeah. They're my three.
Yeah. Feed the meter.
Yeah.
Offer hors d'oeuvres to the Messi.
Are there no Liverpool cult heroes?
Jan Mjolby. I used to love him because he made everybody have a hope that you could be a great footballer because he just kind of wandered around with his big beer gut.
He looks like an accountant.
Yeah, threading passes through. And I just always looked at that and thought, you know what? I've got a chance. Still have. What about you, Dick?
Mine are Robin Friday. And if you don't know about Robin Friday, please Wikipedia him and listen to the Guardian podcast story of his life.
I like his brothers, he was incredible. Man and TFI.
Hey!
lovely.
Robin Friday played for Reading and was an absolute genius on a football pitch, and I can't do justice.
Was he a maverick?
He was the definition of a maverick, mate. Yeah, okay. He really, really was.
I'm a maverick.
And my other one would be Neville Southall, whose book The Bin Man Chronicles, my best mate just bought me, and I'm very excited to read. Neville Southall has also retweeted me now, not just once, but 7 times.
Whoa, so, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Massive friend of the
show. Jan Mulby and Southall now, what a Wembley doubles team they would make with that podge. They'd elbow you out, wouldn't they? You wouldn't get past that.
You wouldn't.
Incredible. Wembley doubles
on their mobility scooters.
Well, I'll tell you what, talking about Wembley doubles, the perfect partnerships.
Segueing the shit out of this.
So we're talking about perfect partners. Obviously, there's me and my wife.
Yeah.
Me and
shout out to Karen.
And the best strike partnerships.
Deck and your wife.
Uncle Stephen.
That would be Harry.
Just love to you all.
Yeah.
A strike partnership is very much like a love affair, isn't it? You know, it's about understanding.
Finding the right strike partner is very much like making love to a beautiful
woman. I did that voice as well. Yeah, yeah.
But no, I think you have a point. It's that understanding, the forgiveness.
Yeah.
The forgiveness.
So I'd go for, if we're looking at all
the
time...
The vigorous action in the box.
If we're looking at ones all time, I'd go Toshak Keegan. But in more modern parlance, I would go for Sturridge and Suarez.
If you were to sort of characterise your sexual relationship with your wife by comparing them to two sort of a key striking partnership, are you a sort of Toshak Keegan sort of situation?
It's very much she's got
it's a very much a big man small man situation. Yeah.
He's got long hair, she's
down,
got a tash,
she puts him in. There we are. So happy Valentine's Day.
I think you're being very generous to Daniel Sturridge.
They were great that season.
Yeah, no, Luis Suarez was that season one of the best players in the world. Daniel Sturridge was there.
But in every partnership, there's one person who thinks they're punching above their weight.
You know? Yeah, like in Shearer and Sutton, it was Chris Sutton.
Yeah.
Who has been bitter ever since. My God, man.
Dave, bloody hell.
Take a pill.
Let it go.
Something's going on with him. He's the most miserable man in Europe.
Yeah, his career kind of did peter out a bit, didn't it? So he's probably a bit bitter about that.
Still. But I was making notes.
Right.
I was making notes on great strike partnerships.
Who did you choose?
Obviously, I have to mention Chapman Wallace because they won us the league.
Mm-hmm.
I have to. And it does sound like an estate agent.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Hi, Chapman Wallace.
It's a lovely two-bedroom home.
And it is the big man, small man thing that you love so very much.
Chapman Wallace putting you through.
Wright and Bright have to have a mention because they rhyme.
Yeah.
Shearer and Sutton because they were the SAS, which is the best nickname for a strike partnership there has ever been.
Wasn't Sturridge and Suarez SAS as well?
Yeah, but they weren't the first. It's like Heroes Reborn. You know, why? Why would you do it?
That was a pointless show.
Yeah. So you've, and,
very niche reference.
And you got Rush and nice Dean Saunders. Rush and John Aldridge.
Deserve more.
Rush
like,
and
it?
Robbie Fowler. Basically Ian Rush. But and Les Ferdinand and Alan Shearer, they were very good together. But I think, as much as it pains me to say, the only really great strike partnership of recent years is Dwight York and Andy Cole.
That telepathic communication.
They just got it. And I don't particularly like either of those players, and I certainly don't like the club, but they were great.
See, the best relationships are based on that kind of telepathic communication, you know. So my wife says she doesn't want to have sex, and I know she's telling the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Rachel.
So who would you go for, Dick?
Peter Beardsley and absolutely anybody.
Oh yeah.
In a sexual way? If I said in absolutely anybody, that would be what a video.
When Beardsley was at Everton, who was up front then?
Great question. Yeah. Should know the answer.
That wasn't really
Tony
a proper striker.
It was
man in the hole, but that's all it was.
Man in the hole.
Yeah.
Was it Graham Sharp?
Could have been. I don't think it was.
The reason I didn't include Bergkamp and Thierry Henry in this is that I wouldn't class that as a strike partnership. Because Bergkamp and Beardsley both played the classic number 10 role where you're not a striker, you're just off.
That's a very fair point.
I think Gary Bundy might know. He's an Everton fan. So if he wants to email in again about who was up front with Peter Beardsley when he was at Everton...
Peter Beardsley.
Peter Beardsley.
And Bondo is not drinking tonight. So, you know, this is the result of serious mental defects.
I'm twice as quick and twice as statty.
Can I tell you what the thing I love most about football?
Yes, you can, mate.
It's the fact that today I was just sitting there when I should have been working and Marco Negri just popped into my head. Do you remember Marco Negri?
I don't. Who was Marco Negri?
Marco Negri was an Italian striker who moved to Rangers of Glasgow.
Yes.
And in the first... Right. He scored 23 goals in the first how many games of his Glasgow Rangers career?
I don't know.
23 goals. How long did it take him to get to that figure?
I'm going to guess at, it's a Scottish league, so 30 games. 1 year.
17 minutes. 1 season. In the Scottish league.
10 games. He scored 23 goals in 10 games, and in the next 2.5 years, he scored 7 goals. But I love the fact that football is so rich with all of this. That there is always someone that you... Like, if I say to you now, Luke Chadwick...
Oh yeah!
Do you know what I mean?
Face only a mother could learn.
Yeah,
she tried to drown him.
It's the bastard offspring of like the guy out of the Goonies and what's his chops out of the Office and detectives. Mackenzie Crook, Mackenzie Crook and Sloth had a baby, and it was Luke Chadwick.
That's right.
But
good.
It's the fact that football is so filled with this that you forget that you watched JJ Okocha, and then you remember, and you go on YouTube, and you go, yeah!
It is great when we're researching this show, which we do. I know it does. You get caught into a kind of drawn into a YouTube world where you'll watch one and you go, oh, who was that with him? Oh God, do you remember that? Or it's a compilation video, and then you start getting, it's like Wikipedia as well. You get drawn in and drawn in. Where's that player now? Where's this guy? Yeah. We love it. We love doing this show, listeners.
I forgot that Michael Laudrup even went to Chelsea.
We love doing this. Keep listening, and we might. I forgot that
Jesper Gronkjaer scored almost goal of the season his debut for Chelsea.
There's so many great
things. Do you know what I mean?
There's
just so much shit, and I love that. And no other sport gives you that. And I like a lot of sport.
Well, that's great. Shall we take a break and then we can talk about...
More love after the break.
Love after the break. I just want to actually flip over to Radio 2 and see what's playing over there. Jim, when you're already late... Smoking sign on your cigarette break. It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is Romelu Lukaku.
Lukaku to have come in and been your captain. You knew it was the sensible call, you absolutely knew it, but you had to keep bloody Ibrahimovic and lose 20 plus fucking points. It's like rain.
On paper, on FUBAR Radio.
Take what you want. Go all the way. Step over the line. Hit that. Smash it. Pull out at the last minute. Shoot from just inside their box. Guaranteed heavier tackle. Sex Predator boots. The new official boot of the Premier League squad players. Worn by... and Sunderland's and most of the Man United squad, Rio Ferdinand era. Don't take no for an answer. In stores now.
FUBAR Radio is proud to be an official partner of Stand and Calling 2017. This year's festival is taking place from the 27th to the 30th of July, with a lineup which includes
Orbital, Clean Bandit, Slaves,
Akala,
Nadia Rose,
as well as DJ sets from
Mike Skinner and Merkage,
Faithless. FUBAR Radio will be bringing the hottest stand-up talent to the brand new comedy stage, featuring James Acaster. For more information and to buy tickets, go to www.standandcalling.com and keep listening to FUBAR Radio for exclusive offers and giveaways in the lead-up to this summer's big event. FUBAR Radio, an official partner of Stand and Calling.
Are you lonely? Do you need someone to gloat over? Do you know more than Mike about football? Then why not join our mini-league? As a part of this elite club, you'll receive exclusive bragging rights over your peers and strangers you can taunt over the internet. Want more? Well, join now and we'll waive the usual 10 grand entry fee. Just use the league code 636-272-790-456. Also, you receive a free beer should we ever meet in person and you remember to ask for one. That's the GTOP Mini League 636-272-790-456. What have you got to lose other than your last remaining tread of dignity?
Players must be 9 months or over, no terms and conditions may apply, any prizes on offer are purely fictional.
From the studio that brought you Three Men and a Baby comes the controversial true story of another United legend. It's the sordid and sexy story of a man whose legendary status on the pitch was matched in the sack. Watch him wonder as he weaves through a sea of stretched legs. Feel the temptation as he goes down in the box. And recoil in horror as he bangs his brother's wife. Ryan Giggs is an unforgivably dirty bastard in The Life of Ryan. Coming soon to theatres near you.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
And we're back. This is Good Team on Paper. Hello.
I've got to mention, live, we are genuinely live, from Gary Bundy again, with an email address that we won't use.
I'm starting to get insecure about how many listeners we've got.
He's just a regular correspondent. He suggests for the best striking partnerships, Sharp and Sheedy. And we were looking this up, because I had never heard of Sheedy, I'm afraid. To my shame, you two all had done as well. Mike was with me. And Sheedy...
Both Kevins, aren't they?
Both Kevin. Graham, I think.
Oh, no, sorry. Kevin Sharp was a Leeds left-back, sorry.
And from Sharp's Carpets.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw Northern Television. That was, Kevin Sheedy, a little fat to you, was born in Wales, but as an Irish international, he scored Ireland's first ever goal at a World Cup finals.
Well,
fact.
Well done.
Stat attack.
Well done, Sheedo.
Stat one of attack. Us said some
I wouldn't have said something insightful, and it won't happen again.
A poll.
I once had to ring Everton Football Club for something. I can't remember what it was.
And a refund, probably.
Hang on. No, it was something to do with a show I was working on. And
was the show called Best Football Teams Ever?
Yeah. And the answer phone said, "Hello, Graham Sharp speaking." And I went, not the Graham Sharp. And he went, "How do you mean?" I went, "Well, the Everton striker Graham Sharp." He went, "Yeah, that's me." I was like,
"Wow,
that's amazing."
And then proceeded to just gibber at him. And then he turned down my request.
To be fair, that's pretty solid gold.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right, so we got one more love theme before we get our special guest correspondent in. Mm. A little special guest for
and
us.
And this guy knows about love, trust me.
And we are talking about players we love to hate. And I'm going in myself on this one.
Are you piling in two-footed?
I'm going straight in for it.
Is this
studs up?
The one that the show hates?
So long-term listeners will know that I have a particular dislike to Johnny Evans. Yours is Jordan Henderson. And Dex, yours is...
Today it's Ibrahimovic, mate.
Ah, good. Nice. And Mike, anybody just randomly chose on a dartboard?
Yeah, Ibrahimovic, I hate to love.
Oh, you can't help it. Yeah.
I love the way he plays the game.
Yeah. It's like Cantona, I used to like... Oh.
Oh, no, you see, here's the thing about Cantona. Mm. Right, when he started at Leeds, he did
Hang on.
Picture the scene. It's Yorkshire, 92.
Everyone's starving. Tuppence is around. Houses are on fire.
Leeds are well on their way to title. But they signed this Frenchie. I know what you're thinking. A Frenchie in Leeds... mental. but we did. We signed this Frenchie called Eric Cantona because Sheffield Wednesday didn't want him after playing him in a five-a-side indoor tournament. True story.
Great fact.
Yeah, we signed him. He plays most of the season off the bench, comes out with the occasional bit of magic, adds gloss to games we've already won. Right? But he becomes this massive cult hero. You go to Greg's in the town centre and there's little Cantona gingerbread biscuits and stuff like that. He does a press conference where they say to him, "Do you like life in Leeds?" And you know, after obviously having pictures of him with Yorkshire puddings because they're so racist up there. Did the same with Tony Yeboah, the same with Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Just put Yorkshire puddings in there, Barbara, and take a fucking photo.
Normalise him.
Yeah. So
it's relatable.
So, and do you know what he said about the Leeds fans?
They were fascists.
I don't know why I love you, but I do.
I don't know.
Right? He said that. And then he moved to Man United, scores a penalty against Leeds, and celebrates by standing on the fucking advertising hoardings in front of the Leeds fans.
Awful.
There was no love left after that.
Can I just ask one thing? That was a lovely story. But
thanks.
When you said there were gingerbread biscuits that were cancer ones, what were they like? Did they have kind of a collar?
They had a white shirt on and seven. He didn't.
Just a slightly oversized nose.
No, because the thing is, at Leeds, we wouldn't have allowed such arrogance. In fact, Howard Wilkinson shipped him on because he was too individual. Good move, Howard.
Well done, Howard.
That's a good move. Oh, no, we don't want him around here with his fancy tricks and goals.
Well, anyway, you can have him as your player you love to hate. I want mine.
Back to love to hate.
So we hate Johnny Evans, and I had a particularly fantastic experience with Johnny Evans this weekend.
Did your wife.
Yeah, not in the after party.
Shout out to Sarah.
So you may have seen that in the last minute, West Brom got an equaliser against West Ham. I was at the London Stadium with my beloved Irons, with my brother. Hello, Mark. And we, at the time, it looked...
You sound like David Cameron when you say my beloved Irons.
My beloved Irons. Yeah. Reading off an auto cue.
Up the Clarent Hammers.
I've got my own bubbles now to play, but I haven't had a chance to do it because I keep being late.
I love them so much, I can't even be asked to learn the timetable.
Thanks, Graham, though, for those. And they're very good for if you spill some pie on yourself trying to, rub off.
I try and rub off in a football stadium every once in a while.
See all the enjoyment you get at West Ham.
So
his last goal, I think a lot of people thought that it had been Johnny Evans' goal. It actually probably was, but McCauley was given it, and at the time...
And he's in my team, so I'm glad.
That was the thing, he's in my team as well. So at the time, I was supporting West Ham, I was really getting into it, and the fact that Johnny Evans had got
the final last minute equaliser just really, I was actually genuinely like a West Ham fan, I was genuinely gutted. And it was only as I was, and they announced it over the thing, it was Johnny Evans, it was only leaving the ground that it was announced as changing to Macaulay, even though it wasn't. And I skipped all the way home with pie juice dripping off my little trousers.
I tell you what I'd like to do for next week is find out all those announcers that have said really unreasonable things about opposition players over the tannoy. Because there are some who would have gone, ha ha, Johnny Evans didn't score that goal. What a bellend.
Where do you listen to your
football? Seriously, there are some. People have been fired for this.
Really?
Yeah.
We need somebody to make a compilation video of that.
Yeah.
So, our guest.
Our guest. Well, we've had him on the show before. Mm. And he likes to talk to other people about their problems.
He tells it as it is.
He does. This week.
He's the Donald Trump of football.
This week, no callers, no call-ins, just straight up telling it how it is.
Plus, it's the most romantic night of the year, Tuesday. No, just a little joke for you there, it's Valentine's Day. Anyway, I thought I'd give you some love advice, because on Valentine's Day, is there anything better than curling up with the wife? Not necessarily your wife, but someone's wife. Having a couple of lagers and getting your end wet. Am I right, lads? Anyway, okay, so here are my top tips for getting someone Valentine's night. Number one, romance. Romance is very important because this night isn't just about you, it's about whichever Doris you're with at the time. So, pay her a compliment. Sort of thing you could say is nice tits. You brush up all right. I would. That sort of thing. Or if you're not the wordy type, then a firm, open-handed smack on the backside tells its own story. All right. Two. Here's something you can do. You can spice things up if you've been with a bird for a while. Change gear. Give her the thrill of the unexpected. During lovemaking, I like to call them by a different name. Partly because the odds on getting their name right are pretty fucking slim because I'm a player. But it also adds a real passion to the old innie-outie. When you're not up to your nuts, why not play a prank on her like Nina in The Spine when she's not looking? Or whispering a racial slur to her in a crowded place? Be sure to cover your mouth though, there are cameras everywhere and you can get in some real bother. Number three, go the extra mile. Get the £5 bouquet, not £3. Buy those seashell chocolates rather than normal shaped ones. Write her a poem like this one. Man United are red, but I am a blue. Now off with your knickers, I'm gonna do you. Copyright John Terry. Finally, if you're alone at this most romantic time of year, don't despair. Pop round to a mate and see if you can have a go on his missus. If he's a true pal, that'll be no bother. If he kicks off, just offer to hold the camera. The important thing is to be involved, because just because you're on the sidelines doesn't mean you didn't win. Alright? Cheers, guys. See you next time.
The legend that is John Terry right there.
That is sage advice.
That was, he's a beautiful guest, isn't he? Always comes in on time, always gives us great content.
He puts his head where it's dangerous.
If anyone actually takes that advice seriously, then...
don't call us.
No, I think I think actually that there is... Yeah, if
you're unlikely to.
There is some good advice in there. Don't buy the £3 bouquet unless it's £3 reduced from £5.
That's true.
Because the heads are starting to wither.
They're quite hard to peel the prices off, though. Somebody, they should invent ones.
It's like they're wanting to expose you as a cheapskate.
Because it says easy peel on them, and it's absolutely
we
nonsense.
We are four guys in a studio on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Don't think we can actually add much to this.
But what you haven't seen, listeners, is that during the breaks, we've been having lovely little cuddles. Because love isn't a sexual thing.
No.
It's an emotion. It's a combining force. It's like the force in Star Wars, those science films.
It's a wife. It's a mistress.
Yeah.
It's a lover.
Yeah. It's a friend.
It's a parent.
We've gone all Alan Bennett.
I've got some more correspondence here.
Okay.
It's live. I've got here from a young Ali Walker who's. Ooh. Handed
come 9 years
way,
old
come all the way over to the studio and handed this to me hand delivery, and he says for cup players he loves, he mentions Stuart Nevercott, who apparently signed an autograph for him when everybody else had gone home, including his mum, and I'd imagine just leaving
always trying to get playfully trying to get rid of him at why that would age, Stuart Nevercott's mum be there?
he says he got out of his car and walked over, and you've always loved him for that.
We asked for your cult hero, not your fucking life story,
that,
Ali.
That
Jesus.
Also, when a Premiership player got out of his car to go see a lone child, that could have gone one of two ways.
Yeah.
And luckily, a cult hero or... No.
Yeah.
So...
I would like to play this.
Oh.
This weekend,
that's
there are no...
Stuart never caught alert.
Yeah.
Stay in your cars. Wind down the
Barry window. Bennell's loose.
Child locks for a reason. Fix them to the outside of cars, not the inside.
Yeah, God, I'm trapped inside and Barry Bennell's coming. Allegedly.
Anyway, there's no games this week.
There's no games this week. Please don't make any transfers. I've seen a lot of people have already. It's the FA Cup this weekend. Also, we'll talk about this next week, but there are no games in the next game week for Arsenal, Man United, Man City and Southampton. And that means next week we're going to give in a little bit of a special on blank game weeks and double game weeks, so we can look forward to that.
Super blank game, super blank game, super blank game.
Are we also going to do who's better, Frank Lampard or Gerrard?
No, because it'll take 2 seconds, Gerrard.
It'll take 3 seconds, Lampard. It's
I
a
want
long
to
name.
See this.
Yeah, anyway, fight
to the death, obviously. Right, that's your lot. This has been Good Team on Paper. Thank you very much for checking us out on Fubar Radio. If you want to check out the podcast, head over to iTunes. You can download it from there. I have been Mike Swain.
I've been Jesper Gronkjaer.
I've been not in favour of Paul Nuttall.
I've been Stuart Nevercott's mum.
Hey!
Happy Valentine's.
Yeah.